Also, just gonna mute myself real quick so I can cough.
Hot. Didn't mute yourself, so that's the funny part.
Muted myself on the recording, though. I don't care if you
Oh.
hear my cough. Hey everybody, and welcome back to the Brover Watch Podcast. My name is Adam Cook, and as always, I'm joined by the boy with space background. Calder Amos Wood. Calder, why do you love space
posters? This is
so
real
much?
life. This is not. I don't
I
know.
thought it was the other way around. I thought the other one was faked.
This one?
Yeah, that's not
Yeah,
real.
they're pretty. They're both fake. That's not real either. That's upside down.
Upside down
That's
man.
like Stranger Thing.
How are you doing, little pal?
I'm all right. Children of Light.
We are the
Children of
children of the
Justice.
light. For those of you who didn't watch last episode or watch or listen to last episode, we said Washington's prayer, which we should we start off the podcast by saying the Washington's prayer?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, let me just bring it up. Last week I added some graphics and music. Don't know if I'll do that this week, but maybe I will. We'll see how lazy I am in the editing process of this. Now you're about to find out now. Here we go.
Get
A
your
wizard
prayer
hit
hands
a...
up.
Do not interrupt the Washington's prayer again, I swear. O wizard young who art in Washington, to justice be thy name. Thy coaching come, thy games be won, on stage as they are in scrims. Give us this stage our single win, and forgive us our choking, as we forgive those who choke against us. And lead us not into throwing, but deliver us from Papagatir. For thine is the standings, the map record, and the glory. Until next season, amen.
Amen.
Everybody cite that prayer before bed every night, and maybe Washington will get two
Maybe
wins this
we
stage.
should say amen instead of amen.
I don't know about that because that has nothing to do with Washington.
I know.
So
I have
yeah,
a quickie little question before that.
Okay, before we start talking about
what is this
playoffs.
trading card shit?
It's interesting. People like having things to purchase.
Are they physical? Like, what is it, though? That's the thing.
I think
just.
You buy physical trading cards.
Okay. Where?
I don't know. I think they just announced them, but they're not available for sale yet.
They're available on June 19th.
Well, then there's your
And
answer. We'll find out on June 19th, you
And they're made by Upper Deck. But, like, yeah. Upper Deck makes all the good sports cards, pretty much, though.
Here's the thing. If
so they'll
the,
probably be
if the
fine.
Trading
I don't
cards
know.
are literally just... Like, the Jonak one that they're advertising is his picture from last season.
Yeah, it's like, I don't...
So it's like, here's what I'm saying. If it's literally just old pictures of players...
On a card?
On a card, and that's it. And it says
Unless that's,
team,
like, his rookie card.
I don't know.
Like,
But, like, if that's it, that's dumb. But if it's, like... There's different cards for each player, and like they have their stats and like bios and like a description of like their main hero or something like that. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Or describing like a special moment that they had. That'd
or
be
like,
cool.
Yeah. And if like this is his rookie card, then that's cool. But if they're just going to be like, oh yeah, here's an old picture of Jonak
on
a
a
card, like
cardboard.
What do I want that for? Why do I want that?
I guess we'll find out.
I like the league, but I'm not going to support that.
Also,
just like
also on the merch front, it seems that the All-Star jerseys are made exclusively by Into the AM, who made last season's jerseys, which people are hoping is a sign that Blizzard is not really happy with Fnatic's work on the merch. And that we will be going back to Into the AM for next season, which
hopefully,
please. And also, please, don't let Fnatics make all the other stuff, too. Because I was wearing my Houston Outlaws t-shirt the other day, and I was like, this is so soft, and it looks so cool.
I wore my jersey yesterday. Oh. Is that your mom? Is it a ghost?
I told everybody to tell you not to come in. Did they not? Well, they're stupid then, not you. You're good. Bye. Hi.
Is that your mom or your dad or your brother?
He just came home and just said hi. I told my brother and my mom to tell him when he got home that I was recording, but neither of them cared enough to do so.
Nice.
Anyway, so what was I saying? Oh, yeah. So I was wearing my Houston Outlaws t-shirt, and I looked at it, and I was like, this looks cool. It feels good. It's nice. Like, it's one of my nicest feeling t-shirts that I have, legitimately. It doesn't look good because it shows a team that's failing, but you know what I mean. And then I thought about it, and I'm like, I look at Fanatic Store, and it's a bunch of really boring-looking shirts that apparently don't even feel that good, like, quality. And, so Blizzard, next season, go back to making your own merch and get into the AM to make the jerseys. The merch was great last season.
Into the AM could also make, like, t-shirts and shit, too. But it's just, like, why go with Fanatic? It was exciting, but... You didn't get any prototypes before? You did literally zero research now, before going to Fanatics?
Apparently Into the AM does make the current jerseys, but Fanatics does the printing and stuff like that, which is the bad part of the jerseys.
Yeah.
So go back to Into the AM, please, and also make your own t-shirt merch and stuff like that, because that's still good. That was good last season.
Mm-hmm.
Screwing the pooch, as they say.
Really are.
But also on a side note, the All-Star jerseys just look really cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now,
do you think you're going to get one?
No. There's not.
They're kind of expensive.
The only person I was thinking maybe debating getting one for, because I think the blue jerseys, which is Atlantic, I think the Atlantic jerseys look way better than the Pacific jerseys.
Yeah.
But... So the only one that I was thinking of maybe getting was the Dogman one, but then I was like, I don't want to spend $99 on that. I don't care enough.
I'm really disappointed with the colors of the Pacific, but I guess that's just the colors they've given the Pacific at this point.
It's weird because it was the exact same last season where it was like one skin was better than the other, and then it was the opposite for the jerseys. It's the same this season. Like, the Lucio skin's great. The Mercy one's okay. For this,
but the jerseys, the blue jersey, are a lot is great.
But
they'll get it right eventually. It actually is themed after the skins, too, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, they have like a sun and moon thing going on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the All-Star event is exciting. We'll get more into that after we talk about the week and the finals, the Stage 2 finals. But yeah, we'll get more into the All-Star stuff in a bit. Calder has a gripe or two about how they did the rosters, but we'll get into that a bit more later.
Well, from our very short limited conversation, sounds like you have a gripe or two, too.
I have a gripe or two, but I have a gripe or two with your gripes as well.
I have a gripe with you.
I don't have a gripe with you. I have a gripe. Who ate Gilbert Grape?
Where's Gilbert's grape, and how does he find it again? Is Gilbert Grape the one where Leonardo DiCaprio pretends to be autistic
Brad
for?
Pitt. No, Brad Pitt was Brad Pitt was Benjamin Button. You're right. Leonardo DiCaprio was Gilbert.
Oh yeah, it's him pretending to be autistic for an hour, and I believed it too.
Also, just gonna mute myself real quick so I can cough.
Hot. Didn't mute yourself, so that's the funny part.
Muted myself on the recording, though. I don't care if you hear my cough. All right, let's get into the games. So we'll start off. First game of the weekend was Shanghai versus Shock. Shanghai swiftly ended that golden record, taking a map off San Francisco, and then San Francisco got every map after that.
Gonna be honest, boys, a little bit of butterfly fluttering in my heart there with that first map win by Shanghai. And then, you know, San Francisco just absolutely crushed them.
Yeah.
Absolute demolishing.
Now, here's the thing. I think two things. This game was great for Shock and great for Shanghai. It was great for Shock because they ended that map record thing immediately. So they didn't have to have that on their minds at all. They didn't have to worry about that. I don't think they did worry about it too much anyway, but they didn't have to worry about it at all.
Mm-hmm.
All they had to do was play the games. Nothing else mattered except winning. Like, who cares how many maps you win? Just focus on winning the whole thing.
And it's so good to deal with that, like, first.
Yeah, it was right away. Got it off their chests, off their backs, and they could just play the game. I think it was good for Shanghai, because other than Titans, Shanghai was the only team to take a map off Shock.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really
good
sign. It
took one third of the maps the Shock lost this stage.
Yeah. So, good for Shanghai. I think that bodes well for them. Ding is basically a massive carry on that team.
Yeah. Well, like, they were talking about it during the broadcast. They were talking about it during the broadcast where it's like, they basically treat Ding like they treated Jonak in season one, where it's just like, and Ding's got to play well, or else, you know, we might not do well.
Luckily, they haven't really had a point where Ding chokes bad. He's mostly been pretty consistent.
Yeah.
But that was a good game. It was very good for Shanghai, very good for Shock. And Shock move on to the next round. The next match was Hangzhou versus London. London was the third seed, Hangzhou the seventh?
Seventh. Yeah, Shanghai was eighth, Hangzhou was seventh.
So, judging by the seeds, you'd guess London would win, but not many people did guess London would win.
No.
Because I don't know. London is... Here's the thing about these two teams, though. They've been the two most inconsistent teams.
Yeah.
Having, like, high highs and low lows. But Hangzhou has been very much on the upswing, whereas London's still been, like, a roller coaster. So I...
And in my opinion, if you put Hangzhou in the Atlantic Conference, which London is in, I think they probably would have finished above London.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, Hangzhou is very, very good. Pretty much, they figured out the communication stuff, and that was the main thing holding them back, and I think they will be a very strong team going forward.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, this just makes me think, it would be very fun in our, like, final episode of the season to, or maybe, like, the first episode after the season ends, to look at the final standings of the season and then look at our power rankings from the very beginning of the season. That'd be fun. And compare, see how close we were.
I think I put Hangzhou a bit too high.
Same. I think I literally put them at 2.
Oh, no, I put Seoul at 2. You put Hangzhou at 2. Yeah, we'll see at the end of the season.
Yeah. And I remember you put Shock at like 6.
Yeah, because I was scared. I reverse jinxed them, and now look at me. I've done so well for myself.
Because I encouraged them is probably it.
No, it's because I reverse jinxed them.
Anyway, so we haven't even said the score yet. Hangzhou got a 3-1 over London. London won first map. It was very similar to the Shock game. London won first map, and then Hangzhou got 1-2-3.
Yeah.
And by the way, those three wins were not close at all.
No, I don't know. London's just...
Three full holds.
Here's the thing. I'm still scared that London wins the championship.
I'm not. I don't think it's a fear to have this season. Because I think unless...
I guess they were really dominant.
Which I guess we should talk about somewhat, so maybe we'll tack it on to the end. The rumored 2-2-2 lock starting in stage 3. Unless that comes into play, I do not see London being good enough to win the whole thing.
But here's the... Well, actually. Because the only opponent last year was New York. And then New York choked.
Yeah.
And then that's pretty much the reason London won.
Here's the thing. All right.
Last thing.
Unless GOATS somehow exits the fold in the Overwatch League, I don't see anyone winning the whole thing other than Shock or Titans. There's no one close. Actually, New York is close.
Yeah.
They did put up a fight against Vancouver, which we'll get to in a second.
Honestly, even if it's 2-2-2 lock next stage, like,
I still think Shock and Titans are the two front runners, but I also think that
I think Shock
just come up closer.
I think Shock actually goes a bit more ahead of Titans. Yeah. Because, like, we don't, like, I don't know.
I think they have a really strong DPS line, Vancouver. It's just the only reason I might slightly believe you or side with you is that they've been playing basically nothing but goats for a long time, Vancouver.
Yeah. So. And Shock's got a lot of flexibility, too. So, we'll see.
I think someone on Reddit was talking about it, being like, if the 2-2-2 lock happens, how do the standings change? And the top comment was, I think Shock and Vancouver basically stay ahead. Maybe, like, teams like New York and London, maybe Hangzhou do a bit better. I think the teams in the middle will probably stay there, and then the teams at the bottom will probably go even lower. And someone was like, so the same? And he's like, yeah, basically the same.
I think Shock would, or not Shock, Justice would do a lot better.
Yeah,
or Justice maybe that's just our little Justice fan club we have. But
that is actually one of the few replies, was basically the only team that would probably see drastic change would be Philly and Washington.
Oh yeah, Philly too.
So
yeah.
Anyway, Hangzhou beat London. Let's move on to New York versus Gladiators. A lot of people thought this was going to be a lot closer than it was. It was decently close, but it was a 3-0.
Yeah, which is kind of like, I didn't even...
Actually, it wasn't that close.
It wasn't close at all, and that's... Like, I didn't even think Gladiators were going to win after the first map.
They had
There was pretty... no point where I was like, Gladiators is still going to take this. I was like, New York might not play the best, but...
Gladiators and Shock had kind of a similar story going into playoffs, where people were like, they had a pretty easy stage, time to prove themselves, and Shock did prove themselves. Gladiators didn't.
Don't spoil anything.
I'm not, although I'm assuming most people listening to this have already seen. If you're listening to a podcast talking about games that you haven't watched, well, actually, like, I'm not expecting you to watch everyone, but if you didn't watch the stage finals, what are you doing here? Go watch them again. What are you doing here? Anyway, so New York showed that they are still a team to be reckoned with. Gladiators showed that they did not have their shields up.
Get fucked, Gladiators. Adam just roasted you.
Dallas versus Vancouver. Dallas kind of got bodied a little bit.
I wouldn't expect anything less, though.
No.
Like, people were like, oh, Dallas could really do well, but it's like, no, they can't.
Here's the thing.
It's also the Gladiators.
They could have done well if they didn't get matched up against the Gladiators in their first game. They could have probably made they probably could have made semis if they faced, like, London or Gladiators or...
Hangzhou, maybe. Shanghai.
Maybe Shanghai.
So if they faced anyone except for the top three, then... By top tier,
honestly,
I mean Shock.
I feel like they could have even taken a map or two off of New York.
XL? Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, they almost did that last time.
That's true. Anyway, so it was a 3-0. Dallas is a team. I was thinking about it recently, like when I was thinking about how Shock and Titans are basically the only teams who have any real chance of winning the whole thing. I was like, what is the plan for these teams like Dallas? Where it's like, you're a good team, but you are not nearly good enough.
And well, it's
I don't
like the
know
Raptors
if you've got
thing.
Time to be good enough.
The Raptors have been in that stage for like 10 years.
It's basketball.
Yeah, I know.
I know. I'm just saying for people who don't know, because I don't know who listens to this podcast.
Well.
Toronto Raptors, by the way, because we're Canadian.
Yeah. Toronto Raptors basketball team. They've been good enough for 10 years. They've been good enough to be like first in the Eastern Conference, which is just one of the conferences in the NBA. But not good enough to actually win. So it's kind of a tricky place for a team to be in. And then teams get stuck like that for years. So,
which is why Shock is so impressive. Because first season, they were not a good team. And then they didn't even change much.
Well, stage they four, just... you saw like a little bit of life come out of them. But even then it was like, well, there's just like a new meta and no one's really played this before.
But like they brought in a couple players like Violet and Rascal. But for the most part, it's the same roster.
Yeah.
The only thing that changed is the players are older, more experienced, and they have a crazy amount of synergy.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. The team, in that first season, halfway through the season, they got Sinatra and Super on the team. And then they also got Moth halfway through the season, and then Choyobin halfway through the season. And then they just got Rascal, just got Violet. Architect hasn't played. But, like, this team is only... Nevix. Well, Nevix hasn't played either, and Smurf hasn't played. But this team is a pretty new team still. Like, them beating a four-year-old... I don't know. They're probably not 4 years old. But, like, at least two-year-old Vancouver team that's been together, played through a lot of championship playoff games.
Shock, it's kind of impressive. Going to be top five for the next, like, five seasons.
Yeah.
Maybe not five, but, like...
I think at least next season you can kind of count them in there. And even the season after that, probably, too.
Yeah. So, anyway. So, pretty much what I'm saying is I don't see how teams like Dallas and Gladiators, those types of teams, how you reach the next level.
Yeah. It's kind of just a whole personnel shift, basically.
Yeah. The only reason Shock was able to do so was because that was the plan from the start.
Yeah. The plan was,
we won't be good enough, and then we will be good enough. Mm-hmm. But these people are like, like teams like Dallas are trying to be good enough, but I don't really see a place where they do get good enough, because they don't really have a plan other than, we'll tweak this. And it's like, you may be tweaking all these little things, but teams like Vancouver and Shock.
Mm-hmm. And then if OG leaves too, that puts them in an even deeper hole.
Which, by the way, I was watching a Twitch clip from OG's stream, and he was like, people say I traded and I'm not traded. And everyone's like, okay. Then are you like retiring? And he's like,
So he's retiring?
He's either retiring or he's not leaving. And he has some other announcement that's going to be really disappointing. Or not disappointing, but underwhelming on the 17th.
He has his own diet pills. I'm going to become an Instagram influencer.
With his belly. Anyway.
Yeah.
So then the first, or I guess the semifinals between Hangzhou and Shock.
Major crush alert.
Crushy boy.
An absolute crush.
Hangzhou almost got a map at the end.
There's really nothing to talk about, like, to say about that game, except they crushed them.
Yeah, it was a bit of a crush.
Like, Hangzhou didn't get a point until the end.
Which this basically shows Hangzhou, very good team. But is it the word parity? The parity...
in the league, yeah.
Between the top two and the rest is crazy.
Yeah. Well, it's like top two... New York, and then pretty much everyone else is way down here.
Well, it's top two, New York, bunch of people, Florida, Houston.
Also, like, Houston, that's going to be... whoever takes over that team is going to be a fucking...
Some people are saying that Immortals mess. Will buy Houston, will buy Optic Gaming, because they want they want a Call of Duty team, and Optic has a good Call of Duty team, and then with that will come Houston Outlaws.
But here's the thing. It's going to take at least a season and a half to figure out an actually good team to put together.
Yep. Here's what's going to happen, I think. Between now and, like, September, someone will acquire the Houston Outlaws in some capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically the entire roster will go. I would honestly say probably the entire roster except Dante, and maybe Linxer and Mooma. I think those three have the best chance of staying.
Let me look at the roster real quick.
It's going to be disappointing for you.
I mean, Jake did just sign an extension.
Yeah.
Last season.
Yeah, but...
Right?
Yeah, an extension for the season.
Oh, only this season? I thought it was like 2 years or something. 2 or 3 years.
Is that what... Did you read that?
No, that's just what is in my head. So maybe that's a definite lie.
Because I assumed it was just... Because people were asking if he was going to quit and become a caster. And he's like, no, I've signed on for more.
Yeah.
So I assume that was just a season.
I think Dante, Linxer, and Moom are the only people you can really save on this roster.
And honestly, Linxer is still a maybe. Like, he pops off, but he's inconsistent.
Yeah.
Dante and Mooma, I think, are the only two safe bets. And honestly, maybe since they're in such trouble, they trade him for money and then get a really young new roster. I don't know.
Yeah, send Mooma to Washington. Put him in Washington's prayer. I'm not sure how well that would work out. I don't know. We'll see.
Anyway. So
Houston's a mess.
Basically, there's a big parity, and you can tell by the Hangzhou Shock game.
Yeah.
Then next was the game that we were longing for last stage.
Mm-hmm.
But now that it came this stage, literally they were hyping it up on the broadcast, and I'm like, I don't know if I care anymore. I cared about this matchup a lot last stage, but this one I was like, it's an easy Vancouver win.
Yeah, there was
because before it was the two behemoths are going to fight, and then they didn't. This one it's there's the Titan, and anyways, there's this little boy who used to be a big boy, but then he got shrunken down.
You've really begun to hate New York, haven't you?
No, I still like New York. I just think they're not good at losing.
Yeah.
Which I talked about in my first solo show, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about... sorry, I don't know what's happening in my throat right now. But I talked about how New York aren't good at losing. You watch Vancouver lose, and they come back. You watch Shock lose, and they come back. Even some of the lower teams, they can start to lose and come back, do a reverse sweep like Boston and Philly. New York, if they start to lose, they just get in their own heads and lose more, which is so apparent in the two Atlanta games that they had.
Yeah, and I think it's got to do with last season. Because you can't run through an entire league, basically, with no defense, lose in the semifinals, and then come back and you're still kind of pretty good. They're just too confident. I don't know. There's just something wrong with this team's mentality, and they've got to get some coaching staff to deal with that.
I think New York and Vancouver are very similar teams. The only real difference is, Vancouver plays aggressive and New York plays defensive, blah, 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 all that. But I mean, just from a very basic standpoint, they're very similar teams. Mm-hmm. Just being absolute dominant Korean rosters who basically never lose.
Yeah.
The only real difference is Vancouver can bring back a loss into a win. New York doesn't know how to react to losing, so then they just lose harder. Which is why I think Vancouver losing, spoiler alert, Vancouver losing to Shock will only make Vancouver better. I don't think New York losing to teams makes them better.
No. Yeah, and I don't know anything about the inner workings of New York, but it also seems like Vancouver's more of a family, too. The New York guys seem to like each other.
Yeah.
But the Shock and Vancouver teams are they seem like brothers almost.
Yeah.
Because you see them, they're consoling
New York,
each other.
New York, I think, has some of the best player synergy on basically any team, but it's still not, it's nothing compared to Shock and Titans still.
Yeah. I don't know. There's just team chemistry, I think, is the biggest issue on the XL. Just like basic team, like who motivates them when they get down.
I do think I bet a decent amount of that is not having Sabiel be playing all the time.
Yeah.
Because he's like they did a documentary. I forget how long it was. It was like 45 minutes. It was a documentary about last season for the NYXL. And it was really good. But they talked about how...
Did you cry?
No, but it was good.
Almost.
They talked about how throughout the whole season, Sabiel B was like the leader, like the person who would cheer the hardest when they won, but like console people the most when they lost.
Yeah.
And well, like, and how after the state, like the season playoffs choke, even though he was dealing with like the loss just as much as everyone else, instead of being sad, he was spending his time making sure his teammates were okay. And they like really emphasized how much of a leader he was. And now he's not, like, yeah, he's in the roster still, but he's not playing.
There yeah, he's not really out there every
leader
night.
Role anymore.
Yeah, and that's what Super and Bumper and Sinatra, to an extent, are on their teams.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's someone else on Vancouver that's like that.
Yeah.
I just don't understand what they're saying.
And, like, even Moth.
It's like, yeah, Moth, too. Moth is more like a stern father role, like,
yeah.
Seems like.
It was funny because, like, when Super was on the desk, they're like, so he wanted to say something about Moth, and he's like, oh, I hate him. I don't even like him. And then Moth comes on, and they're like, Super said he didn't like you. What do you think about that? And he's like, I guess he's projecting. And then they're like, whoa! But really, Moth's just sitting there like, Yeah. But, yeah.
That brings us to the last game.
Just to wrap up the New York talk, I was just going to say, basically, they need to figure out how to lose so that they can not lose, basically.
Yeah.
If you don't know how to lose, then you'll never be able to turn a loss into a win. Anyway.
How many games have they lost?
This season, I think 3. Nope, 4.
They've lost
the playoffs, stage 1 playoffs, the 2 Atlanta games, and this one.
Oh, right. And then last season they lost.
My guess is 3?
Throughout the entire season, 6.
Oh, right, because they lost a bunch in stage 4 because they stopped caring.
And then, what was it, a couple? Like 1 in a stage playoffs?
I think
London,
they literally did 1 a stage.
Yeah, and then they lost like 4 or something. I don't know, 3.
Anyway, on to the Titan Shock match. This, I think, first of all, one of the best Overwatch matches of all time. 2,
probably
the best.
Well, just like the last one.
Yeah, but probably the best GOATS match of all time. Like the best 3-3 match of all time.
I was like into this game too. I was like, I was alone in my room and actually cheering and like slamming on my desk and getting disappointed and stuff. Like that Paris map, I was like, what the fuck is this? What's happening?
I watched the first 3 maps on TV because I was like,
oh yeah.
I was sitting on the couch with my mom on Mother's Day and I was like, can I check something? And then I checked and it was on. And I watched the first 3 maps with my mom and I was like explaining it to her.
Did she like it?
It was really cool. She was like, I have no idea what's happening right now. It's like a foreign language, but it's cool. And I was like, yeah.
Thanks, mom.
And then basically the game went on too long for the amount of airtime they paid for. So they were like, Monty and Doa were basically like, if you want to keep watching, go to twitch.tv. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. Because it was, I think they booked like 1-3 or something, right? With the pre-show in that too.
Yeah.
And then that was only after Paris.
Yeah, they should have not had the pre-show in there.
Yeah, the pre-show's kind of just good enough. I don't know. I usually, since I've been missing a lot of, like been busy on a lot of weekends, I've been watching VODs and I just skip through the caster stuff, but it's so slow when you're watching it live.
I don't mind it when they like have some sort of segment where like it'll be like, I don't know. Brand, do you think they can bring it back? No, I don't. Sideshow, do you think they can? And I think they can. Okay. Debate. And then they pretty... Although the debate thing is stupid, because usually one person says one sentence, and then the other person uses the last 25 of the 30 seconds to say something. It's like, that wasn't a debate. That was one person talking. Anyway. But like... Yeah, I think they should have just focused on getting as much as of the game on as possible, but... Anyway, so...
And it kind of sucks that they ended on Paris, too, because Paris was a very disappointing, anticlimactic map.
They didn't end on Paris. They ended on Blizzard World.
No, on in the broadcast.
I mean, yeah. Actually, I think they literally ended halfway through Gibraltar, which is even worse, because it's halfway through a map.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
Very strange. Anyway, started it off with a bang. Shock getting a 2-0... on Lijiang Tower. Mm-hmm. That's when I was like, oh, doggo boy. The first map, I was like, man, Titans are destroying Shock. But then Shock brought it back, and then they brought it back again in the next one, and I was like, we're in for a game, boys.
I was watching this, and I was like...
You're cutting out a lot, and you sound like a robot. Let's take a hot second. Hello?
What's happening?
Ooh... Gonna hang up and try again, folks. My apologies. Oh no, you can see everything. Okay, I'll cut this part out. That's weird.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
I'm just gonna do a real quick ditty and then you go back into what you're saying. Sorry about that, ladies and gents. There was some sort of a technical difficulty glitchy thing that happened. Anyway, what were you saying? Calder?
Oh, when I was watching it, I was like, oh, wow, Vancouver's looking really great. It looks like they're going to win this one. And then Shock just ended up winning, which is kind of the thing that we talked about before. I don't know if this was on a podcast or not, but where you'd say the Shock look like they're going to lose all these games. These team fights, and then they just end up winning, and you're like, oh.
Well, yeah, their team fight win percentage when they lose the first player is, it's probably honestly higher after this match, but before this match it was 42%, which is insane because the league average is like 21%.
Yeah.
So they're basically still winning half of their fights when they lose someone. That's cray.
And it's just they're just an insane team and they have such a great structure.
Yeah.
And a lot of credit should go to Krusty for that, but
yeah. You and I were talking after the match. You were like, "Do you think Shock is the undisputed best team in the league right now?" And I was like, "I don't think it's undisputed. I think you could still have a debate that Vancouver's better." But I think, and I've been saying this for a while, that I think there's no team in the league that is cleaner than the Shock are.
Yeah.
Because Vancouver, I do think Vancouver's overall skill is higher than the Shock's.
Really?
Yeah. But I think the teamwork and synergy and ability to come back from team fights and just their... Like, there was a clip where it was on Blizzard World for their Hangzhou match where Super was basically like, hey, Moth, IDK likes to do this thing where he jumps around this part as Lucio, so just make sure he doesn't do that. Oh, okay. And then Sinatra basically goes, Super, just a heads up, Godsby likes to do this thing where he pokes out around this corner. So when he does that, let's pressure him super hard so he can't do that. And like they literally mimed it out. And like they showed these comms. And then they showed the clip of Hangzhou attacking. And that exact thing happened. IDK did the thing in the spot that Super said he would. And then Godsby did the exact same thing that Sinatra said he would. And then they crushed them. And it's like,
yeah,
the wrinkle brains on this team are... Anyway, I personally think Shaq is the best team in the league.
I think Shaq has the best coaching and best skill, but I still think Vancouver is cleaner because in this game, Shaq did use a couple alts where it's like, you don't need to do that, especially Moth. Moth was probably the most noticeable one. But even Sinatra, he would like just kind of throw them. Grabs. Yeah, and
one person again, was like, he whiffed a grav on Blizzard World so that he'd have a grav in time for this other fight. So they
like, just hold it. No, that's stupid. But the way that Sinatra, Violet, Super, basically this whole team is able to damage, output damage, and then also stay alive while outputting damage is second to none, I think. Mm. So I just think they're probably a better mechanically skilled team, but...
So we literally think the opposite. You think Vancouver's cleaner and Shaq is more skilled. I think Vancouver's more skilled and Shaq is cleaner.
I think Vancouver's like a well-oiled killing machine where everyone on the team knows pretty much what their part is.
Just a real quick question, though.
Yeah.
What's well-oiled about Bumper charging in and dying?
Well, yeah. I know.
That wasn't a fair question. That was just for the meme, but...
There's, like... His play style is very interesting. It's like me playing on Ryan, where I'll go in, and half the time, I'll be able to kill anything that's in front of me, and then half the time, I'll fuck it up.
I will say, I've never seen you play Ryan.
I was playing a bit on stream before.
Oh, yeah. But I think people have just gotten used to Bumper.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like super. I mean, I tweeted this out on my personal Twitter, but here, let me just bring it up. I won't show it on podcast because who cares? I'll just read it out. But it was a stat that they showed comparing the two Zarya's and comparing the two Reinhardts throughout mm-hmm. the match. And Somen Su on Zarya had 52 final blows. Sinatra had 52 as well.
Mm-hmm.
Somen Su had 44 deaths. Sinatra had 43 deaths.
Mm-hmm.
So the only difference...
literally the last fight that they had in the entire series. So
not counting like damage and like average energy and stats like that. The difference is literally one death.
Mm-hmm.
Then Bumper as Reinhardt had 45 deaths. Super as Reinhardt also had 45 deaths. Now Bumper had 44 Earth Shatter stuns. Super had 67 Earth Shatter stuns.
Mm-hmm.
He had so many Earth Shatter stuns.
Yeah, he had like 30% more Earth Shatter stuns.
Which
are actually 50% more.
Yeah. I guess I can tease next week. We'll talk a bit about the All-Star events and anything cool that happened that week. But we will also be giving out our mid-season awards. So most improved player, MVP.
Rookie of the year.
Rookie of the year.
And then best of each three position.
And maybe some
which will be kind of tricky, but... Memes.
Also... I'm thinking now, maybe we should do something special where I set up a special format and it looks cool and there's music and we're wearing suits. Do you have a suit?
I have a jacket and a nice shirt.
We'll do what we can. Anyway, so my actually, point is that the Zarya's and the Reinhardts are basically equal. And Bumper and Super shared a hug at the end, uh-huh. And it wasn't just a
respect Super hugged hug. Everyone.
It wasn't just a respect hug. It was they buried each other's faces into each other's necks. That was a brother respect blood-packed hug.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, basically two Chads respecting each other. And that was really cool.
Just kind of, because I've been thinking about what I said earlier about Vancouver being more of a well-oiled machine. I just think they have a synergy that really no team in the league has.
Except me.
And that's... No, I mean, like, playstyle synergy that they've developed over, I don't know, two and a half years.
Maybe even three. But, maybe even three. I don't know. Maybe even three.
Well, they haven't lost for like 2 years or a year or something. No, it's been 290 something days.
Yeah.
I just think that they've got some next level connection as a team.
Yeah.
And that's just the way that they're able to crush so hard. But I think the thing that puts the Shock ahead is the coaching and then just the raw mechanical skill that these 19-year-old boys have.
Yeah.
So hopefully you can't roast me on that one, titty boy.
Basically, I think everything you said is wrong, even though I kept saying yep. Also, that's I'm joking. Nice. I think basically both of these teams could be argued to be the best team, not only in the league, but in the world. And we shall see. I think even if next stage Titans win and then next stage Shock win, and then in the grand finals one of them wins, I still think no matter how those games pan out, you'll still be able to debate for either of these teams being the best.
Yeah, unless it goes to 2-2-2 and then the Titans absolutely suck shit.
Except that won't happen. They got Stitch in their pocket.
Oh, yeah.
But
and hooray.
It's kind of like how when London won, people were still like, yeah, but and New York's the best team.
Yeah. And anyone that was like, London's the best team is just like, you didn't watch the season at all.
I do
you didn't
think
watch
London
any of the
at their peak is arguably the best team. At their peak in a DPS meta.
Well, we saw that in stage one of last season, where it's like, yeah, they were the best team that, like, they played the best. Mm-hmm. But last season, the best team was New York.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah, I think it was Houston. I'm joking. Obviously, absolute that's the most obvious joke. Anyway, so not only did Shock win, but they won 4-2. So it was... They didn't even go to 7.
Oh, this is actually what I predicted before. I tweeted this before the game. I just realized it. I said Shock win in 6.
You did say Shock win in 6. Nice. But, yeah. So
I
Shock,
peanut butter
good
earlier.
Job. Proud of those boys. They looked so incredibly happy. And I'm so proud of them for sticking it through. Also, just thinking about Sinatra, how people were trash-talking him coming in, saying he was a feeder, this young feeder getting paid too much in the first season. All he cared about was solo carrying, and he was a bad teammate. And now,
are you reading this from something?
No, that's just what I've been reading. And
okay,
or not what I've been reading. That's what
you read.
That's just what the talk was when he joined last
season.
And now he is basically the undisputed best Zarya in the league, and one of the
best player in the damage category.
Yeah, crazy good. So congratulations, Shock. We love you. We both believed in you, and you pulled it off. Good luck in the next stage and the rest of the season.
I believed in you a little longer, but yeah.
Yeah, but you didn't believe in them as much.
Well, I'm not really a bandwagoner like you, Mr. 4-5-6 teams.
Not a bandwagoner, though, because here's the thing. I'm not saying Shock's one of my teams. I'm just saying
pretty close.
I've been saying they were going to be one of the best since preseason, and you went, oh, I feel like they're kind of trash. And then a couple episodes ago, you went, I'm bored of watching The Shock because they're too good. I wish they were worse. And then I went, I said
it's more fun to watch, or what I meant is that it's more fun to watch competitive games. It's more fun to watch a 5-game. Yeah, it's more fun to watch a 6, like a 4-2 or a 3-2.
I agree.
Than it is to watch a 4-0 crush.
I agree. But what I'm saying is I would rather sit through a bunch of crushes and see a game like this than see a bunch of close games and have the final be a crush.
Yeah.
Anyway, so those were the playoffs. Those were the stage 2 playoffs and finals. Very exciting. Very cool. I like it.
Are we allowed to talk about our All-Star gripes now?
Let's talk about All-Star gripes. So we've got the Atlantic Division and the Pacific Division. Before we get into anything, let's just say the two rosters. Atlantic Division, as voted in by fans, are Poco, Jonak, Pine, Fusions, Carpe, and Arc. And then for Pacific Division is Jinmu, Ameng, Yveltal, Fleta, Ryu Zhehong, and Gushui. Now, what's your gripe?
At least with the starting roster, probably about 70% of the starting rosters don't deserve to be on the starting roster. Now, they can be reserves, but like, Pine's good, right? Mm-hmm. But he's not all-star starting roster. This season, because of the fact that he's played literally 0 minutes.
Now, do I say my interjection now or let you continue and then say it?
Just say it now.
This is where Calder and I disagree. Calder says Pine can't be on the starting roster because...
I'm Pine saying he shouldn't played, be.
Because he hasn't played this season. Now, I see his point, and I respond by saying, yes, but the reason he was voted on is because people want to see him play, and him getting on the all-star roster, starting roster, based on fan votes, even though he hasn't played, just shows how much of an all-star he is.
No, that doesn't mean he's an all-star. An all-star is a guy like Jonak, who's performing out of his mind pretty much every night. One of the best players in the league. I know Jonak's slightly fallen off a bit in many people's eyes, but he's like, top two, three in the league?
Me going, wasn't really fair to him. He's
top two in the league for sure. Okay? Because I don't think Violet's there yet. But Pine is not a top player in the league this year. He's not an all-star this year.
And Pine, it's going to be tweeted out saying, wait, what?
Yeah.
When he saw this.
Like, he can... I don't have a problem with him being there because they want him for the Widow headshot thing. That's what fans want to see. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with them being like, and we're going to bring in Pine as like a fan favorite for the Widow headshot. But having him on the starting roster of the All-Star team in a season where he hasn't played makes literally no sense.
Now, let me add this point.
No, you've but Adam, like, it doesn't... Cool. This would never happen in any other sport.
But here's the thing. Something that does happen in every sport is no one really cares about the All-Star game.
But it comes up when you talk about legacy.
A lot.
Because it's part of a legacy, if it's serious. It's part of a player's legacy.
But here's the thing. I feel like the All-Star game is specifically not serious. Like, the whole point of it is that it's not serious.
Well, the whole point of it is you can just have a fun weekend. You don't have to call it an all-star game then.
Yeah, but then just, how do you decide who gets to play?
I don't know. You just do whatever the fuck you want. Just have fan votes everything in, and they'll vote the worst teams in. Because here's... Okay, do you not agree with me that a Shock or Vancouver Titans player should be in the starting roster of an all-star team for this season?
You and I agree on something. As it stands right now, and correct me if I'm wrong. Not you, Calder, I mean other people.
I know.
Because I know you don't know. But as it stands right now, the starting roster is fully fan voted in. And then the reserves are, I think, 25% fan votes. Like 25% of the sway is fan votes, and then the other 75% is players and coaches and analysts.
I think it's like players, media, and media as well. Yeah.
So I think it should be the other way around. I think
we agreed on this earlier.
Yeah. I think, and Calder also thinks, that players and coaches and analysts and casters and media, they should be the ones voting for the starting roster, and then fans should be able to vote for the reserves. Because absolutely, Sinatra and Bumper and Super and Twilight, Violet, they should all be on the all-star roster, starting roster.
Yeah. Now, like, there's crossover there, obviously, but they're the best players in the Western Conference. Yeah. Ameng is good. Like, all these players are good, obviously. Gushui's been playing very well. But like, Fleta hasn't played in a stage. I don't know. Like,
it's Ryu Jaehong's good, but he's not the best. Where like Fleta and Ryu Jaehong were in the All-Star thing, even though Seoul was sucking trash. They're doing better this season. Also,
it's like,
I would argue Ryu Jaehong deserves to be on there this season because he's still been playing on Seoul and he's been doing very well, and Seoul's actually doing well.
But Twilight's in the same conference as him. Like, Ryu Jaehong can be a reserve. And I don't know.
I think also, it seems, I don't know if this was planned, but it seems like each starting roster has two tanks, two support, two DPS.
Well, that's how you had to vote it in.
Oh, right.
But, and then like one sub or something.
I feel like they have to do that because if they didn't, it would basically all be main tanks and DPS. Actually, that's not true at all. But I feel like on the Pacific team, it would be Ameng, Super,
Bumper,
OGE, Bumper, Space. Like,
no, it wouldn't be Space. Gushue. It'd be like Violet and Twilight in the last Gushue. Two.
So it's, but like, it would just be all these tanks.
If you just look at the teams that got in, it's four Chinese teams and the Seoul Korean team. Like, and not, I don't mean Seoul like as in the city, but the only Korean team. Probably obviously the biggest population in the Chinese cities. I don't think there's, except for New York, a city with a bigger population than these ones in China. The ravenous Seoul fans that voted in their two players.
And this kind of reminds me of another point that I had. I don't like when we vote. It starts at the end of stage one, ends like mid stage two.
Mm-hmm.
So according to these starting rosters, everybody voted in. Well, this is also why Pine's in there and why Ark's in there. Like, people are voting. People voted mostly based on last season because not enough had happened for us to vote for this season. The only reason Fusions got in is because people knew him from World Cup. Same with Gushue, probably.
Yeah, and they're also EU players, so the EU people probably voted for like Poco and Fusions.
Yes. Well, people voted Poco because they were like, Poco bombs, Poco best from last season. Fucking
vote for someone on Paris? Yeah, good
luck. Guaranteed. If the vote happened today, these would be... Actually, I feel like the Pacific would be basically the same because the Chinese market is just insane and they just... Like, those fans are crazy. But I feel like at least the Atlantic team would be drastically different. I don't think Poco would be in. I don't think Fusions would be in.
Carpe
would be in. I think Ark would still be in just because they'd want Ark to reunite with Jonak.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just, you're not honoring, like, have these players on the reserve. You're not honoring the right players here.
Yeah.
That's my problem with it. And the All-Star team is about honoring the season's All-Stars.
Are there any teams that don't have a single player on either roster?
Looks like an Atlantic team might be missing one. Let me just check.
Just go to the divisions and list off every Atlantic team.
Atlanta, Boston, Florida.
Well, not that Houston. Fast. Florida, Houston.
Actually, they're all represented.
Okay.
And then in Pacific, Chengdu, Dallas, Guangzhou, Hangzhou, Gladiators, Valiant, Shock, Seoul, Shanghai. Yeah, everyone's. Each team has a representative.
I'm guessing that they made sure that was a thing. Because if I'm being fully honest, like, Shu is a great player. I don't know if Shu would have made it if they didn't specifically make sure that everyone was represented.
In stage one, Shu definitely would have.
As much as I love him too, Dogman probably wouldn't. Say a player would, because people want Widow headshots. But Cruiser, maybe
DM.
Not.
Maybe you'd switch DM with D-Ding. D-Ding.
Ding.
D-Ding. Ding. Dong.
Anyway, so those are our gripes. Pretty much
OG's trash, dude.
No, not at all, actually. Main thing, switch how voting works for starting roster and reserves. Make the voting that we do decide the reserves, not the starting roster.
Or you even said before,
people choose starting roster.
You said before to make the voting for like each game or each event.
Yeah, like announce the events earlier and have people vote for who appears in each one. Like, I want to see
these players. There's only three events. There's Talent Takedown, Widowmaker, and the Arcade.
Yeah, but the...
I guess the Arcade's a bunch of different modes, right?
The Arcade's a bunch of different modes.
Yeah.
And most of them, since there would be multiple rounds, would have multiple people because they switch out the entire roster each round.
Mm-hmm.
So, like...
So maybe just have people vote for Widowmaker headshots and Arcade as well as... starting roster and make starting roster 25% fan voted. And then have all the reserves, the people that are voted in for headshot and arcade.
Yeah.
That's what I'd do. And then you can like mix them all up with the arcade and have starters and whatever, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just.
This is weird how they do it. Cause
I'd rather they didn't do it like this or have a draft like every league's doing now. That'd be so entertaining. If you had like
to do an all-star Jonak, draft.
If you had like Super and Jonak as the captains,
I would and they had to Super pick their to be a captain of a team.
And he's like, look at this sloppy, disgusting team over here.
This ugly team. Anyway.
I was one last note. They have so many reserves that they have a view more tab, and when I didn't see Super on the first one, I got a little sad. I also didn't see Bumper, and I was like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So maybe just have them all show.
That's the other thing too. I don't think Super received a crazy amount of votes because the voting happened when Shock was only just starting to be good. Like good.
Yeah.
So I feel like they literally put
and Super honestly,
on
I don't even.
They're like, Super's got to be on there.
I might have it on my phone, but I don't think I voted for Super.
I think I did.
I think I voted for Bumper instead, and then like an off tank. Oh yeah, here it is.
Oh no, I voted Aumang for sure. Oh no, I think I put Aumang into Super.
We never talked about this, but we were going to.
Yeah.
For Pacific, I voted Moth, Unko, Sinatra, Bumper, Somensu, Aiming.
I forgot to screenshot mine because I'm a complete idiot.
And then I did Ivy, Aim God, Defrayan, Fusions, Onimo, Poco.
Why'd you vote? See, you're the problem.
Yeah, I guess I am. But Poco, like, Philly was pretty good. And what other off-tank are you going to vote for? Mecco?
Real quick, let me check something.
I don't know.
Stage one.
Fury wasn't really popping off like he is right now.
Fury's always popping off. I highly disagree with you.
Yeah.
Anyway, there was one other thing I was going to talk about, but I completely forget what it
is. Do you want to do 2-2-2 roll lock?
Oh, that's what it was. 2-2-2. Let's just make it brief. I think it would be good for the league. Don't know if it would be
good for the game.
Comp. Like the actual game, but I think it would be. It's tough because I feel like so many great things about the game come from being able to flex around. Yeah. But at the same time, if we don't change anything about it, there's no way, unless you make tanks and healers even more undesirable to play, there's no way that GOATS goes away.
Yeah. And I think I might enjoy it more having 2-2-2 roll lock, so just like you can't really get fucked when you're playing comp.
There's still a lot of creativity to be had with 2-2-2.
Yeah, but like it adds some restrictions in a pretty much restrictionless game right now. That said, we've been playing when we six stack with our friends, we've been playing 3 DPS and it's been very fun.
Yeah.
And I'm not even playing DPS. I'm playing Zenyatta like I'm a fucking Jonax twin.
Somehow, even when we play 3 DPS, nobody trusts me with that role.
I know. It's pretty fun, huh? Well, unless Matt's playing and then he plays Moira or some dog shit hero like that. Moira's literally an off healer. Remember when that guy said that in our Open Division chat?
There are a lot of people saying, not that she's an off healer. Just not.
No, one guy literally said, I consider Moira an off healer.
Hmm.
And I was like, what are you?
I do agree with what people said, that Moira is very good at low ranks, not very good at high ranks.
Yeah.
Similar to Reaper. There was a pro who made a tier list of the ultimates in the game, and Reaper was at the bottom, like F tier. And I was like, if this was my SR ranking, that would be S tier. Because anytime a Reaper ults, team wipe.
That's very true. Anyway. Also, I don't know. Just finish. I don't know.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for watching and listening to this episode of the podcast. Went a little long, but hey, it was the stage finals week, so don't even worry about it. If you liked the podcast, be sure to like it and share it with your friends so that they can also partake in these discussions. It's a fun time to be had.
Say the Justice's Prayer.
Yeah, make sure to
before you go to sleep.
The Justice's Prayer before bed every night. Help them get more than one win in the stage. I will be tweeting from our account the transcript of the prayer. Hopefully it fits in the amount of characters they allow.
280?
If not, then I'll make it a picture that has the text on it.
Oh, that'd be fun. And then make that the pinned tweet.
Yeah. Anyway, so be sure to follow us on Twitter at TheBroverWatch. Be sure to visit our website, TheBroverWatch.com. Be sure to follow Calder and I on Twitter as well, at I'm a Dumb Cook and at Calder_100. And we'll catch you next time, baby. Bye-bye. Love you.
Bye.
But between the Grinch and the Lion King.
Yeah.
You choose the Grinch.
I just like the Grinch more than I like the Lion King.
Let's go to Rotten Tomatoes.